Chapter 11. Sean woke to the realization that something was wrong. He started to sit up, but the pain checked him. The stiffness of bruised muscle and the catch of half-dried scab. He groaned, and the movement hurt his lips. Slowly he swung his legs off the cot and roused himself to take stock of the damage. Dark, through the hair of his chest, showed a heel imprint of Jan Paulus's boot. Sean prodded around it gently, feeling for the give of a broken rib. Then, satisfied with that area, he went on to inspect the raw greys that wrapped round onto his back. Holding his left arm high and peering closely at the broken skin, he picked a bit of blanket fluff from the scab. He stood up, only to freeze as a torn muscle in his shoulder knifed him. He started to swear. Then, softly, monotonously, and he kept it up all through the painful business of climbing down out of the wagon. His entire following watched his descent. Even the dogs looked worried. Sean reached the ground and started to shout. "What the hell?" He stopped hurriedly as he felt his lip crack open again and start to bleed. "What the hell?" he said again, keeping his lips still. "Are you doing, standing round like a bunch of women at a beer drink? Is there no work here? Halubi, I thought I sent you out to look for elephant." Halubi went. "Candler, where's my breakfast?" "Ember Janey, get me a basin of water and my shaving mirror." Sean sat in his chair and morosely inspected his face in the mirror. If a herd of buffalo had stampeded across it, they would have done less damage. "Nkosi, it is nothing compared to his face," Ember Janey assured him. "Is he bad?" Sean looked up. "I've spoken to one of his servants. He has not left his bed yet, and he lies there growling, like a wounded lion in the thicket, and his eyes are as tightly closed as those of a new cub." "Tell me more, Ember Janey. Say truly, was it a good fight?" Ember Janey squatted down next to Sean's chair. He was silent a moment as he gathered his words. "When the sky sends its cloud impies against the peaks of the Drakensberg, with thunder and the spears of lightning, it is a thing to thrill a man. When two bull elephants fight unto death, there is no braver show in all the veldt. Is this not so?" Sean nodded, his eyes twinkling. "Nkosi, hear me when I tell you, these things were as the play of little children beside this fight." Sean listened to the praises. Ember Janey was well versed in the oldest art of Zululand, and when he had finished, he looked at Sean's face. It was happy. Ember Janey smiled and took a fold of paper out of his loincloth. "A servant from the other camp brought this while you slept." Sean read the note. It was written in a big round schoolgirl hand and worded in High Dutch. He liked that writing. It was an invitation to dinner. "Cantilla, get out my suit and my number one boots." He picked up the mirror again. There wasn't much he could do about his face. Trim the beard, perhaps, but that was all. He laid the mirror down and looked upstream to where the Larue wagons were half hidden among the trees. Ember Janie carried a lantern in front of Sean. They walked slowly to enable Sean to limp with dignity. When they reached the other lager, Jan Paulus climbed stiffly out of his chair and nodded an equally stiff greeting. Ember Janie had lied. Except for a missing tooth, there was little to choose between their faces. Upa slapped Sean's back and pressed a tumbler of brandy into his hand. He was a tall man, but 20,000 suns had burnt away his flesh and left only stringy muscle, had faded his eyes to a pale green and toughened his skin to the texture of a turkey's neck. His beard was yellowish white, with still a touch of ginger round the mouth. He asked Sean three questions without giving him time to answer the first. Then he led him to a chair. Upa talked, Sean listened, and Jan Paulus sulked. Upa talked of cattle and hunting and the land to the north. After a few minutes, Sean realized that he was not expected to take part in the conversation. His few tentative efforts were crushed under Upa's verbal avalanche. So Sean listened, half to him and half to the whisper of women's voices from the cooking fires behind the lager. Once he heard her laugh. He knew it was her, for it was the rich sound of the thing he had seen in her eyes. At last the women's business with food and pots was finished, and Uma led the girls to where the men sat. Sean stood up and saw that Katrina was tall, with shoulders like a boy. As she walked towards him, the movement pressed her skirt against her legs. They were long, but her feet were small. Her hair was red-black and tied behind her head in an enormous bun. "Ah, my battling bear!" Uma took Sean's arm. "Let me present my daughter-in-law, Henrietta. Here's the man that nearly killed your husband." Jan Paulus snorted from his chair, and Uma laughed, her bosom wobbling merrily. "Henrietta was a small, dark-eyed girl." "She doesn't like me," Sean guessed instantly. He bowed slightly and took her hand. She pulled it away. "This is my youngest daughter, Katrina. You met her last night." "She does like me." Her fingers were long and square-tipped in his. Sean risked his lips with a smile. "Without her ministrations, I might have bled to death," he said. She smiled straight back at him, but not with her mouth. "You wear your wounds well, Menhir. The blue eye has an air of distinction." "That will be enough from you, girl," Upa spoke sharply. "Go and sit by your mother." He turned to Sean. "I was telling you about this horse. Well, I said to the fellow, he's not worth 5 pounds, let alone 15. Look at those hocks, thin as sticks. So, he says to me, trying to get me away, you fellow, he says, 'Come and look at the saddle.' But I can see he's worried." The thin cotton of the girl's blouse could hardly contain the impatient push of her breasts. Sean thought that he had never seen anything so wonderful. There was a trestle table next to the cooking fire. They went to it at last. Upa said grace. Sean watched him through his lashes. Upa's beard waggled as he spoke, and at one point he thumped the table to emphasize the point he was making to the Almighty. His amen had such an impressive resonance that Sean had to make an effort to stop himself applauding, and Upa fell back, spent. "Amen," said Uma, and ladled stew from a pot the size of a bucket. Henrietta added pumpkin fritters, and Katrina stacked slices of fresh mealy bread on each plate. A silence fell on the table, spoilt only by the clank of metal on china and the sound of Upa breathing through his nose. Mevrou Leroux, I have waited a long time to taste food like this again. Sean mopped up the last bit of gravy with a piece of mealy bread. Uma beamed. There's plenty more, Mynheer. I love to see a man eat. Upa used to be a great trencherman. My father made him take me away, for he could not afford to feed him every time he came courting. She took Sean's plate and filled it. You look to me like a man who can eat. I think I can hold my own in most company, Sean agreed. So? Jan Paulus spoke for the first time. He passed his plate to Uma.
Fill it up, please, mother. Tonight I am hungry.
Sean's eyes narrowed. He waited until Jan Paulus had his plate back in front of him. Then he took up his fork deliberately. Jan Paulus did the same.
Glory, said Uma happily. Here we go again. Upa, you may have to go out and shoot a couple of buffalo before dinner's finished tonight.
I will bet one sovereign on Jan Paulus, Upa challenged his wife. He's like an army of termites. I swear if there was nothing else, he'd eat the canvas off the wagons.
All right, agreed Uma. I've never seen the bear eat before, but he seems to me to have plenty of room to put it.
Your woolen shawl against my green bonnet that Jan Paulus gives up first, Katrina whispered to her sister-in-law.
When Janie has finished the stew, he'll eat the Englishman, Henrietta giggled.
But it's a pretty bonnet. I'll take the wager.
Plateful for plateful, Uma measuring out each ladle with scrupulous fairness, they ate against each other. The talk round the table dwindled and halted.
More?
Asked Uma each time the plates were clean, and each time they looked at each other and nodded. At last the ladle scraped the bottom of the pot.
That's the end of it, my children. We'll have to call it another draw.
The silence went on after she had spoken. Sean and Jan Paulus sat very still, looking at their respective plates. Jan Paulus hiccuped. His expression changed. He stood up and went into the darkness.
Ah, listen, listen, crowed Uma.
They waited, and then she exploded into laughter.
The ungrateful wretch! Is that what he thinks of my food?
Where's your sovereign, Upa?
Wait, you greedy old woman! The game's not finished yet.
He turned and stared at Sean.
To me it looks as though your horse is nearly blown.
Sean closed his eyes. The sounds of Jan Paulus's distress came to him very clearly.
Thank you for a...
He didn't have time to finish. He wanted to get far away so the girl couldn't hear him.